Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6 this morning, please. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 8 through 13 this morning in Matthew chapter 6. I'll read aloud as you read silently in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 6. And then we'll begin at verse 8. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, it is so good to be in church. It is fun. It's great to have a good time in church and laugh and cut up. But Father, this is the time where seriousness needs to abound. God, we pray this morning that if there's somebody in this room that does not know God as their Father, that they would trust Jesus Christ, the penalty that God requires, that Christ would pay it for them, and they would accept that gift that God has given this morning. God, work in all our hearts this morning, but especially in the hearts of people that don't know Christ as their Savior this morning. Work and deal with us today in what areas you know you have need of. Now, Father, I pray for this task to be accomplished, that you would fill our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him to help us today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Please check your cell phone and make sure it is turned off or turned to vibrate at the very least so it will not go off in the service. We would appreciate that courtesy rendered to the rest of us. So thank you very much. Check that right now, please, would you? They call it the Lord's Prayer. Many of you could quote it from memory. But in reality, it's a model prayer. And Jesus is trying to teach the disciples about the basic format that should be a part of our prayer life. That is a whole different sermon than what we're going to go with this morning, since this is Father's Day. But is it not interesting that Jesus started off talking about God, and to God he attributed the title of Father? I want you to keep your Bibles open this morning, because we're going to go through these verses very quickly. And from this model prayer, we're going to talk to you about a model father. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. Jesus wanted that title there because he wanted us to have that kind of a relationship in prayer with God. You can pray, sometimes people say, well, when you pray, do you pray, dear God? Do you pray, dear Jesus? I mean, what's the proper way to address him? Apparently, the best way to address God when you pray is to call him Father. There's a kinship attachment there. But also what he said about the Father and what he says about our Heavenly Father in this model prayer is a format for a good father. You know, we get very little training for the most important roles in life. Become a doctor, you have to go to school for years and years and years. I don't know of an important profession that does not require some degree of training, but how little training do we receive to be fathers? Most of us are going to learn by example, on the fly, what our dad was like. And let me just say this morning. None of us are going to be able to say on Father's Day today that we had a perfect dad. Is that not true? Because we have found out, we who have become fathers, we have found out we didn't achieve that either, did we? You know something, dear people, this morning I want to When I talk about a model father, I'm talking about what God intended. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, if God the Father is the model for a heavenly, for an earthly father, we're all in trouble. No, what it does is it gives us a proper standard to shoot for. We do too much in society today of bringing the standard of living back to where people live instead of bringing where people live up to the standard of where it should be. And that hurts us in society. It really does. So rather than make people feel bad about the fact they're not doing what they should, we'll just change the standard, then you can live any old way you want, and that's A-okay. Well, that's produced what we have today, not only in America, but around this world. So when we talk about a model father, let's do something this morning, Dad. Let's set the standard where God put it. Let's understand that a model father is supposed to model himself after the heavenly Father. And let me also say this morning to all of us dads today. You and I can spend our lives decrying what we didn't get from our fathers. We can say, well, you know, my dad wasn't perfect. Yeah, you would join the rest of the human race. Or here's what we do. We can say, I didn't have a perfect example of a father, but I have a perfect example I can find in a father. And that's our Heavenly Father this morning. You know, I'm very thankful today. My dad goes to our church here. Whenever they're not here, he's homesick. So they're watching it this morning on the internet. Hi, Dad. Happy Father's Day this morning. I'm very blessed to be able to pastor my father. It's something I never thought I would ever do in my life. And it's kind of a different role. It sort of changes things a little bit anyway, being your dad's pastor. You know something this morning, dear people? I have this morning an example of a perfect Heavenly Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, Jesus said. Now let's look at the verses this morning and get very quickly what is a model father from this passage. Look at verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. I know of a Christian group, very small group, as you'll find out why in a moment, that believes based on that one verse that you're not supposed to pray. Since God already knows what you need, you don't need to ask him for it. Like I said, it's a very small group because they go out without a lot of answered prayer. Jesus said, you have not because you, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Prayer is very important. But what does it tell us about the Father? Before we ask him, he already knows what we need. Why? Because he's paying attention to what we need. Can I give you an example of a model father this morning in an earthly sense? A model father is one who pays attention to the needs of those around him. There's a news report recently about a whole segment of our society today of mothers who have forsaken their families, left their children, moved to another part of the country, decided to live their own life and do what they wanted to, and left their homes and their families. And even in society today, as different as things are in roles in society today, which means bad, mixed up, even in society today, most people think, well, what kind of a mother would do that? One of them was interviewed, these moms, and they asked, she said, well, if I was a man, no one would be saying anything about it. Because most men today, if they were to leave their families, nobody would say much about that at all. You know, it's a sad testimony of our society, isn't it? But it also proves something, listen to me. It proves that for too many men today, as fathers, they're detached from the needs of their family and those that are around them. No, a model father pays attention to the needs that are around him. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need even before we ask him. Why? Because he pays attention to the needs. The Bible tells us he numbers the hairs in our head, our Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us he notes the sparrows when they fall from the skies. The Bible says the Father is that particular in his attention and his care over all of God's creation. It's amazing when you think about God knowing the needs of every individual person on this planet. But he does know, and the Bible says he already knows even before we ask him, because he pays attention to the needs of those around him. Hey, Dad, you want a good example this morning? Then pay attention to the needs who are around you. Selfish, disinterested, detached, uncaring fathers is not a good example of a father. We're not here to get what we want. We're here to give what we can. We're not here to receive. We're here to give. We're here to pay attention to those things that go on around us. Now, it's natural, I think, in a lot of ways for men to kind of miss a lot of things. Have you noticed that? Where we're kind of let things pass us by too easily. We're a little focus-oriented. we're focused on a project or a responsibility of ours, and we kind of bypass everything else that happens in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, with our children, those sorts of things. But a model father is like the Heavenly Father. He already knows what we need even before we ask Him, because He cares to pay attention to what goes on around Him. That's a good earthly father also. Say, well, then I'm going to have to. I mean, that's going to take up more of my time. Well, then take up more of your time, Dad. But pay attention to the needs of those who are around you. A model father, verse number 9, has a good name. See, it says in that verse, after this matter, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed in the Bible is the same word for holy. It means set apart. God's name is set apart. That's why you don't cuss the name of God. No, that's wrong. It's wrong to cuss, period, but it's wrong to cuss the name of God. It's wrong to use the name of Jesus in an exclamation. Oh, Jesus! No, that's wrong. You're using His name in an improper fashion. That's a hallowed name. That's a special name. That's a set-apart name. We don't need to cuss the name of God. We need to understand it's a holy name. It's a set-apart name because of who it represents and who it speaks of when we call and mention the name of God. And a good earthly father has a set-apart name also. In other words, he pays attention to his reputation. His name means something. The Bible says in Proverbs, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I'm glad that Adolf Hitler didn't have any children. How would you like to be a descendant of Adolf Hitler? I'm glad to say that a lot of these people who are notorious had no children in their life. As far as we know, Charles Manson has no children. He's a murderer and an insurrectionist. He has now been in prison all these years since the 1960s. He refuses his parole dates now. He says, prison's where I live and belong, and that's where I want to spend the rest of my life. Thank you, Charles Manson. We appreciate that very much. But the truth is, how would you like to be the son or the daughter of a Charles Manson? Just because of what the name means. When Benedict Arnold betrayed his country in the Revolutionary War and fled to England to preserve his life, he spent the rest of his life in England. You know, the truth of the matter is the man was a traitor to his nation. Now, how would you like to say, my dad betrayed the United States of America? On the other hand, are your children blessed to have your name? You see, gentlemen, listen to me carefully. Dad, your reputation and what is going to be said about you tomorrow is based on how you live your life today. We're laying the groundwork for this now. No one's going to be able to come behind us and say, well, he had a perfect father. It's not going to happen. No one's going to be able to come behind us and say, well, that was a dad. Nothing negative could ever be said about him. No one's going to have that. But I will guarantee you this. No one should come behind us and say, oh, yeah, that name means liar, thief, immoral, indecent, unkind, rude. That we can put to rest. And Dad, listen to me. You do that by how you live your life every day. Our name is to be chosen. And the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I've known people had unusual names when I was growing up. Had a guy when I was in the service. His nickname was Booger. Of all the nicknames, my nickname, I had an uncle that used to call me Skid Row. I didn't even know what that was when I was a kid. I just thought it was a nickname. To this day, I give people nicknames. I've always done that. All my grandchildren have nicknames. You get close to me, I get to know you very well. I'm going to come up with a nickname for you, too. When I was a kid, I had an uncle, Uncle Ralph, and he used to call me Skid Row. I had no idea what that was. I had no idea what it meant. I didn't know. Later on, when I found out it meant where people live, we don't have homes and houses. It's a homeless place now, what they would call it. But a place where people live on the down and outside of life. I did not know of that. Later on when I found out, I thought maybe that was a prophecy. I was supposed to wind up on Skid Row. I have no idea. But it was a nickname. But to this day, if you say, Michael Ray, I stop in my tracks and turn and listen. Because that's the name I was called whenever I was in trouble. No one ever said, Michael Ray, here's $10. No one ever said that. No one ever said, Michael Ray, you're a wonderful person. No one ever said that. Michael Ray! And when they said that, I stopped in my tracks because that meant I was in trouble. I had done something. So when that name comes up, I know what that means. I'm in trouble. You know, a model father leaves a good name behind him. Hallowed be thy name. A name that is respected. A name that is honored for the fact that you gave yourself for what you did and how you lived your life. Model father has a good name. Look at verse number 10 now, please. A model father has a plan for the future. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God speaks of, encompasses, it's a big expression in the Bible that encompasses all of the plan of God for the ages, from Adam to the last person. All this, you know, we may think today, you know, Pastor Johnson, this looks to me like things are just kind of going on. Truth of the matter is, everything is happening according to a time frame, and God has a plan for everything. And by the way, your life lived by God's word fits you into that plan God has for the ages. It's incredible. It's called the will of God. This kingdom of God, this kingdom of that his plan is fitting and preparing, it's all going to come together. It'll all come out the way God determines. The door of grace and mercy is open, and a person can come to Christ now. But very soon, Jesus Christ will return. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. And then a time frame of table of events takes place immediately from thereafter. And God will culminate his kingdom plan for the ages exactly the way it's supposed to turn out. No one's going to get, and it's, by the way, it's all revealed to you in that book you hold in your hand, the Bible this morning. God has a plan for the ages. A model earthly father has a plan for his life. Now listen to me. Too many of us are just living and dying. That's all we're doing. Get up in the morning, go to work, provide for our needs, and go home. And by the way, that's a good thing, by the way. But there should be some kind, of a plan for our life. So I've got plans. I'm preparing all of these things in my life because I have a plan of what I want to accomplish and what I want to do. First of all, thank you for having some degree of ambition in your life. I respect a person with some degree of ambition rather than someone who just gets up and lives and that's all that they do. They have no direction, no purpose, no thought about what they're doing with their life. In just a few months, I will turn 60 years of age. And I was thinking about that again the other day. That those decade markers are kind of big, you know, 40, 50, 60. That's kind of big stuff. And I was thinking about it the other day. Man, that's 60 years. I talk to Brother Evans about it all the time. How is it to be that old, for goodness sakes? Looking at certainty. I mean, he's going by the cemetery waving every day. I mean, it's just close. And I think to myself, good night, 60 years of age. I never thought I would be where I am at this point in my life. But then I think, well, 60 isn't that old either. And I've got still some more years to go. But I have plan of things I want to do and accomplish with my life. But not just for my Johnson. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have a plan this morning? Say, oh, you're supposed to be talking to the dads, Pastor. I'm going to talk to everybody for just a moment. Do you have a plan for your life? Does that plan, is it involved at all in what the Bible tells you to do? Too many people are making their plans. They're leaning their ladders on the walls of success to get to the top to find out they're leaning on the wrong wall. Does your plan encompass anything to do? Has it anything to do with the Bible, with God's word and God's will for your life? Are you doing what he put you on this earth to do? Oh, nothing is satisfying and as rewarding as knowing that you're doing what God created you to do. When God put breath in your body and life in your body, he put a plan before you. It's revealed in this book. And as you do what the Bible tells you to do, God will reveal his plan to you for your life. And to fulfill that plan is the high and lofty goal of every human being on this planet. And to know as a child of God what his plan is for you specifically, there's nothing greater than that. Model father has a plan. Now, too often, fellas, we plan things out and leave God out. Or we put him in there where we want him. Huh? I'll give him a little of this, and I'll give God a little bit of that, and I can have a little spiritual here and a little bit of this and throw a few church services in there, and after all, I got other things that I want to do with my life. That's not the plan I'm talking about. Seems to be a whole segment of society has no plan for their life. Then there's another segment of society has the wrong plan for their life. Whereas God's kingdom is a plan for all of mankind and how God wants this thing to work out. He'll accomplish it, and it'll be done the way he says. Do you have a plan that fits God's plan for your life? See, now look at me, guys. then we're not going to get to that stage in life where we feel like, well, what's the whole purpose of life? I don't understand. I know way too many men, they're 40, 50 age category, who just feel like, what's the purpose in life? What? I'm just going to work, making money, making a paycheck, go home, spend the money. I mean, what's the purpose in life? No. I woke up early this morning. Realized it was a Sunday morning. It takes me a while to figure out what day it is. It's a Sunday morning this morning. Yes, the Lord's day today. Sat out on the back porch for a few minutes this morning with my green tea, about which I am not at all sensitive. It's perfectly all right. You never went to the doctor and recommended you drink green tea for your health. I guarantee you that. Drink coffee for your health, but green tea, yes. Anyway, but I'm sitting out there with my green tea this morning, watching the birds in the trees, cool of the morning, and thinking to myself, I get to do what God put me on this earth to do today. And this morning, on this fresh, cool morning today, God has given me a reason to do what I do with my life. And I'm thankful that many years ago I decided it was His plan, not mine, and set a course then. Now, friend, listen to me, Dad. Listen to me. Our Heavenly Father has a plan. Do you? And does it fit God's plan for your life? Then look at verse number 11. A model father is a provider. Give us this day our daily bread. He's a provider. Daily bread is an expression used because everywhere in the world today there's some kind of daily provision of bread of some kind. Every culture has their own type of bread, as it were. It's just talking about a daily need. Our Heavenly Father wants us to ask every day for daily provision because every day He has something provided for us. And I'm not just talking about something to eat now. God has something in this day just for you. Say, oh, something good, Pastor Johnson. Well, something that He determines good. You ever come to an end of a day and think, boy, if this is what You provided for me, Father, could You not do that tomorrow? That wasn't what I was thinking of today. But for some reason, that was what He provided for the day. You know, a good earthly father is a provider. He not only knows the needs of those around Him, then He does something about it. Excuse me, it's old-fashioned, but I have to say it. Dads are supposed to be workers. That's what we're supposed to do. Our objective isn't, we say, oh, I hate work. No, we should love it. We should love the fact that we, A, have the strength to do it, and, B, have the ability to take care of it. And when our days come and we are retired from the work that we have, then there should be other things that we do that provide for us. And don't worry, your wife will have plenty of things to provide for you to do the honey-do list. I've had many a guy come to me and say, I'm going back to work. My wife's about to drive me crazy. I got to get back to doing something else here. You know, the truth is, though, He's a provider. That's what a good father is. Not just a provider of the basic needs and supplies of things of life, but also a provider. Hey, listen to me. Dad is a provider of spiritual direction. Dad is a provider of spiritual encouragement. Dad is the one who also teaches the Bible. Fathers are supposed to teach their kids God's Word. They need to hear it from us. They need to see Dad read His Bible, and they need to see Dad instruct and teach them in the Word of God and say, this is what the Bible says. Model father is a good provider. And yes, Dad provides love. And yes, Dad provides care. Hey, and yes, Dad provides instruction in other things in life. Look at me, Dad. Please teach your children manners. Please teach them manners, proper courtesies. Please. I love standing in the hall. We're coming down the church this morning. I like going by the hall with all the teenagers coming in, brought the buses and stuff, headed toward the teen department. I couldn't tell you how many teenagers I said hello to today. Didn't even pay attention. And not just because I'm the pastor, just because I said hello. Just hello. How's it going? How are you doing? These two girls, they're junior high girls, so you know they're like half brain dead. They're going down the hallway. They're too busy talking to each other to pay attention to what's going on. I saw them come down the hallway. I said, hey, girls, how you doing today? And they walked right past me. They turned the corner. They came back past me. How you doing this morning? And they kept going past me. I got it like five times before I got them to stop enough just to say hi. And then they kind of looked at me like, what? And then turned around and walked off. That was as close as it got. Okay, would you teach them manners, please? Would you teach them courtesies and respects and those kind of things? You say, well, I thought we were talking about bringing home the bacon. Okay, bring home the bacon, then teach them how to cook it. And then teach them how to clean up after they're done. And then teach them to say, thank you for the bacon that you made. Do you understand what I'm saying? A father is a provider. Okay, good. Oh, look at verse 12. A model father is a good forgiver, too. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, why would a dad be a good forgiver? Because a good father has been forgiven much himself. That's why. You don't have to learn, look at me. You and I have to learn something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not difficult for someone who's been forgiven much. People say all the time, Pastor Johnson, I want to forgive, but it's so hard. It's not hard for one who's been forgiven much. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We will never be required to forgive someone of something more than God has already forgiven us for. Never. God forgave you for the punishment and the penalty of hell for the sake of Jesus Christ. Anything anybody else does to you cannot compare to that. And a forgiven person can find it much more easy to forgive if you have been forgiven much in your life. And you have too, haven't you? You came to God through Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your personal Savior. God forgave you of much. Or maybe that's never taken place in your life. Maybe you've never come to that place where you honestly, truly accepted Jesus Christ's payment for your salvation. And you believe that His death on the cross was your forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. And trusting only Christ, you accepted Him as your Savior. In a moment of faith, God wipes the punishment, penalty, and payment of sin off your record and gives you eternal life and forgiveness. That's forgiven much. Dad's a good father's a good forgiver. Not a grudge holder, a good forgiver. Too many fathers today are holding things against people for what others have done to them. Because I didn't have a good childhood, then nobody else around me is going to get one. That's the most selfish thing I think I've ever heard. It's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Look, if someone robbed you of your childhood, then you should be the one more anxious to make sure that your kids and grandkids and others have a good childhood. You should be even more determined to make sure they get what you didn't have. That's real Christianity, not this selfish junk of, well, I didn't get what I wanted, so I'm going to make everybody else suffer. That's wrong. You know what? A good father's a good forgiver. He doesn't hold anything against anybody. You bury that thing and you let it go under the grace and the mercies of God. You put it under the blood of Christ and you move on in your life. Oh, by the way, Dad, listen to me. You're going to teach your children how to forgive by how you do that, by how you do the very thing yourself. You have children who are not very forgiving. I guarantee you they had a dad who wasn't either. A model father, also verse 13, is a protector. Do you see what it says here? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Good father is a protector. Listen, Dad, if somebody is not accusing you of being overly protective, you're not doing your job. Somebody's going to think you're just some in-law, outlaw, somebody. Some relative, some grandma. It's always grandma, too. Some grandma, somebody is going to say, you're being too strict with them. Which you always turn to your grandparents and go, you used to whoop me like a red-headed stepchild when I did that, so what are we talking about here? What's the deal with this? And you remind yourself, you know, if somebody doesn't think you're just a little too, you're watching over, you need to give these people a little more space. You need to let your children, you don't need to trust your kids. I do trust my kids. I don't trust their flesh, and I don't trust the devil, but I do trust my children. But I'm not going to trust them with things that could cause them serious damage in their life. Yeah, a good dad's going to be a protector. It says, lead us not into temptation. They don't even get us on the path to doing wrong. That's how good a Heavenly Father wants to be to us. He's going to stand in front of us and say, don't even go down that road over there. You don't even need to go over there. Rather than the modern father today. Well, let them figure it out on their own. Now, that's about dumb as a rock, friend. A good dad is going to get in front of the family and say, we're not going that direction. We're not even starting on this road. Oh, you're one of those King Kong chest-beating kind of dads who just has to tell everybody what to do. No, a good father is going to be a protective father. Going to watch out for you and yours. And a good father is going to be considered overly protective in his life. But that's better than feeding him to the wolves or feed him to the roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil won't give your kids a chance now. You watch these animal shows and you see how the lions come in and pick off the young. The ones I like are when the parents, the family, protects the little one. The lions don't get a lot of little elephants. Did you know that? Because the other grown-up elephants, they'll stomp that thing to death to protect those little ones. You see, look at me. That protective thing, that's very important, Dad. Now, you need to get harnessed up and you need to get awakened to what your responsibilities are for those children in your home. That goes, and when it comes to grandchildren, I know our responsibilities are different then. We would love to raise our grandchildren because we're so wise now. We've got second generation to try better on. We're so wise now we can figure it out. But the truth is, even as grandparents, we need to be careful where we put our oar in, but we need to be protective of all the generations of our lives. Because he leads us not into temptation, the Bible says. And the last thing is the end of that verse, number 13, verse 13 this morning. You know how you end a prayer, don't you? You say amen. Do you know what amen means in the Bible? Amen means so be it. Our church has never been a big amen kind of church. When our friend Brother Robinson comes and preaches from Nevada, he's always trying to get you guys to what the black folk call enter in. Just say something. Don't just sit there and look at us like a bunch of wooden Indians. He's trying to get us to say something. So he'll try to get us to amen a little bit. And you'll do all right after he's gone for about a week. And then it goes back to what we see right now. And amen means so be it. And you don't have to do that for me. It doesn't do anything for me one way or the other. I've been in churches before where I almost had to stop them. Say, look, I'll do the preaching. You just sit and listen for a moment. But amen, and it means so be it. Amen in the Bible also means this. It means I agree. So when someone says, the Bible is the Word of God, we say amen, because I agree with that. Thank you. All right, good. I know I lulled you to sleep, but stay with me just a few moments longer. Would you please? I'd appreciate that. It means I agree with it. It means so be it. But amen also combines the two. It means so be it, whether I agree with it or not. Men are supposed to be sensitive. Amen. Now, most women would look at their husband and go, what are you doing? It means I agree with it whether I'm doing it or not. I still agree with it. It's right. You know what a model father does? He amens what God does and says. Comes to the end and says, okay, I agree with that. Amen. And so be it, God. And I agree with it, whether it's so be it or not in my life, I still agree with it, God. See, a model father has that submissive attitude of amen about him. Comes to the end of it and says, okay, all right, God, I didn't accept this and I don't always understand what it means, but I amen it. I'm going to amen that thing. I'm going to accept that what God does is what God does in my life. So when God takes a job away from him, he doesn't get a poochy lip disease, walk around for the rest of his life bemoaning what he should have had. He says, okay, well, that's an amen. Amen. Fine. And then I'll get another job. And we'll pick it up from there and we'll just keep going on and do what we need to do. When God's word confronts him about how he lives, look at me, fellas, he doesn't get his skirt ruffled. And say, well, that preacher's not a bit is telling me what to do. He's preaching the Bible. Just amen it anyhow. So be it. That's what the Bible says. I'll get there, but all right, so be it. Amen to that. And then when he comes to things from the Word of God or things of God's will in his life, he doesn't understand. He says, I'll amen that, even though I don't always accept it and understand it, but I'll amen it anyhow. See, a model father doesn't have to be a perfect like the Heavenly Father. But gentlemen, could we not take this admonition from Scripture this morning and say, as a father, I need some things I need to work on in my life. Because we can't be perfect fathers, but we can try to model our life after the perfect Father we have in the heavens today. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.